It's the pursuit.
The pursuit of happiness. This is 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 the pursuit of happiness.
It's the pursuit of
Hi, you're listening to The Pursuit of Crappiness, the podcast where we talk about crappy things and how they're made. This is Burl Zhao.
This is Emma Wick.
And this is John Hogue. And today we are going to talk about a special point in time. Imagine yourself in the summer of 1978. It's been a year after Star Wars has smashed the box office, and they invited it back in July, where it made $10 million in just 3 days. So what do you do? You still have like 2 more years before Empire Strikes Back comes out. How do you get people to continue buying your toys and things like that? Well, someone comes up to you and tells you, why don't you do a holiday special? That's right. We're going to cover the Star Wars holiday special, something that has been noted by George Lucas himself, that he said, if I had time and a sledgehammer, I would track down every copy of that show and smash it. Also quoted by Nathan Rabin of the AV Club, I'm not convinced that the special wasn't ultimately written and directed by a sentient bag of cocaine. So with that, let's get into it. Let's see. So Star Wars Holiday Special is a 97-minute musical variety show that aired Friday, November 17th, 1978. One time only on CBS, never to be seen again until it resurfaced in the 1990s, where people started sharing it and it kind of became a cult classic. So what makes this so great? I guess, what are your guys' comments after seeing it?
Well, so I have a pretty long relationship with Star Wars. I watched the movies growing up on VHS, and then I was 8, I think, when The Phantom Menace came out. And so I was too young to really understand that it was bad. I just thought it was kind of boring. But I've always been a Star Wars fan. And then when I finally kind of got to high school, college, I realized how bad the prequels were and really appreciated the original trilogy, got into the Star Wars nerdom. So I'm a huge fan of Star Wars, but I've never seen the holiday special before. So this was my first time seeing that. And I really, I don't want to say I hated it, because it wasn't complete torture. There were definitely moments in there that I was happy-ish about, or not, okay, not
but
happy.
But it was long.
It was so long. But there were parts in there that caused me to be curious.
You could compress the crappiness down, then it would be a much more enjoyable experience.
Yes. I don't know. It was already really, really hard for me to handle. If you'd compressed it down, I probably could have made it through. So
there were definitely parts that intrigued me about it. And so that's kind of what kept it. That was its saving grace. It wasn't just all just completely unwatchable, but most of it was. So, yeah.
All right. And Burl? Right.
Well, so I'm like the Star Wars virgin of the group. Like, my first exposure to Star Wars was...
We were all very upset when we found out about this.
Yeah, I think it was...
We were like, why are you watching this?
2 minutes into the actual special,
Did I
pause.
Say something?
Yeah. Burl was like, wait, so who's that? And I pause. I'm like, wait, hold up.
That's Treepio or something.
Oh,
and we're
No, it was the first guy who I didn't know. It was
Han Solo.
Han Solo.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So I watched one Star Wars movie,
which was The Phantom Menace.
Oh, so, yeah, because I ended up walking out. Was that the one that you said was bad? Because I walked out of that.
Well, there's multiple of them that are bad. All of the prequels.
Well, what was the one where like that Aiken guy was racing and he was what was his name?
Anakin.
Whatever. He was racing, and like people in the cafeteria of my elementary school, like the lunch lady dressed up as
Anakin.
And then,
now
so this is pretty much
is
where
pod
I come
racing.
From.
Oh my
so,
god!
Yeah,
there are
but then
people
I did see the
listening
Force Awakens
to this podcast.
They're probably
yelling
right now.
At Anakin.
I'm sorry. I am obviously not in this nerddom, but I did see The Force Awakens, completely out of context of all the other canon. But
I'm very sad for you.
No, because the story held on its own. The story held on its own.
That's good to
know. It did. It did.
You know, okay, so in a way, I'm kind of jealous because you get to experience Star Wars for the first time ever as an adult. But the way that you've experienced it is so weird.
I mean,
you saw The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
And then The Force Awakens, and then now you've seen the holiday special.
No, this is not complete, though. I need to go through the actual curriculum of Star Wars year by year, and you guys are going to help me. But okay. I just want to, like, try to block out the Star Wars holiday special from my mind, because I feel like most people haven't seen it. People who are fans of Star Wars haven't seen it, and for good reason. It was really, really... Well, I mean, we're talking about it on this podcast, and so...
We're saving you guys the time of... What is it? 97 minutes, like I said.
Oh,
we spent a Friday night doing that.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell them it was Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were, no, it was sad and depressing.
It was.
So I had other things to do.
Yeah. So, really? I mean, my background for Star Wars is that I was raised kind of in the golden resurgence of Star Wars. So my brother was the age of, you know, kind of when Star Wars came out. And so I have a much older brother. So he watched it with me when I was like 6 or so, and then a couple years later the special editions came out, and so I was just totally engrossed with the films. There was a time when I could tell you like literally everything about every character and every ship and recite how many proton torpedoes an X-wing starfighter could carry, and just it was embarrassingly sad how much I knew about Star Wars. I still love Star Wars, and so I'm glad that we're doing this today.
Oh, you had the Lego set yesterday. We saw you with the Lego set.
I did. I have a bunch of Star Wars Lego sets to help me cope through the holiday special.
He has the entire Death Star.
I do.
It's fantastic.
I do.
I was really jealous of that.
Yeah, so besides...
And then this.
Yeah, but there's no Star Wars Lego set for the holiday special because the show basically starts off introducing us to Chewbacca's family. His father, Itchy, his wife, Mala, and his son, Lumpy. We're told later that these are nicknames for Chewbacca's family, but originally that was not clear. And so, you know, a lot of people thought that that was really terrible. But then the show starts off with about 10 minutes of, you know, Wookiee dialogue, which is a lot of grunting. So we're going to do some right now. So
I'm not going to do it.
So
for the first 10 minutes. It was 10 minutes.
And unlike silent films or, you know, other foreign films, there was no there's no subtitles.
Which would have been better. It would have been better.
But so yeah, you're left to kind of see how a family is quarreling over a messy room, eating snacks before dinner is served or something
like
that.
Did they want the kid to take out the trash too? Was that a scene?
Yeah,
that was a scene.
So, you know, very very
highbrow action.
Terrible.
You said it's kind of like a silent film, and that was one of the notes I took. I was like, this is honestly kind of like watching a silent film, but there's no piano score in the background that's kind of soothing and playing along with the emotions of the characters, and there's no title cards to tell you what's going on. Instead, you're just assaulted with this grunting sound for 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Well, I think it might actually be longer than that.
Well, there's a lot of grunting that goes through the movie.
I would have walked out if it was just by myself. Yeah. Like, if it wasn't for you two in the room, I would have stopped
watching. I mean, I started watching it, and I was like, no, this is so bad. I have to watch it with other people, or I won't make it through.
Yeah.
It was really bad. So, but, you know, what makes this film so special is that it uses a TV... a TV format that's not really used anymore. It's the variety show format. So what this is they kind of have special guests come on. They have different people doing skits and things like that. It's almost a little bit like Saturday Night Live, but it's serious. So you kind of have, you know, different stuff going on.
Yeah. What would be so interesting is to find out if there was any other holiday specials like this, and they were kind of taking a already known format. That would be super interesting to find out.
So they have done other holiday specials for other things. This is by far the worst. David Hofstede, author of What Were They Thinking? The 100 Dumbest Events in Television History, ranked the holiday special at number 1, calling it the worst 2 hours of television ever.
I don't disagree with that.
Can you imagine what it would have been like when this came out in 78?
Yep.
78. To be a kid who has just seen Star Wars, been so excited about it, heard about a holiday special, had their parents turn on the one television in the house, and then this comes up.
Well, maybe they didn't have any other content choices, so they have nothing to judge or comparison against, you know, compare it against.
Yeah, maybe, but I would have been,
I mean,
so confused.
So, I mean, we still are so confused.
Yeah,
as adults.
Yeah. Yep.
We are still so confused.
Yeah, so let's walk through kind of the variety show aspect of this. If
yeah, Burl, why don't you walk us through kind of just at a high level what types of variety show aspects that we got in this show?
Sure. So the whole scene or the whole show starts in this whole Wookiee family you see in their living room, and then there are just three of them, so Mala, Lumpy, and like Itchy, which could be probably like STD names. I don't know, just they were really, really different.
They were. Oh, and we should probably set the scene by the whole plot is that
it's on Life Day. Right?
It's on Life Day, which according to Wikipedia, Life Day is, yes, it is. Life Day is a Wookiee holiday celebrated by the inhabitants of Kashyyyk every 3 years. It is a celebration of the planet's diverse ecosystem and the many forms of life it encompassed. It was a time to remember new family members who had died and the young ones who continue to bring new life to a family. But that said, like, Chewbacca is trying to get back for this, and then we're assaulted by all of these variety show skits. Mm-hmm. All
right. So while Mala and Itchy and Lumpy are waiting for Chewbacca to come home, they watch a bunch of television.
All these things happen, and I think I just feel like they're trying to find excuses and apertures to like slip these like variety skits in. You know,
yep,
like
that's exactly
pretty
what's
much
happening.
Like they're just like finding any screen on the house to like, oh yes, and then the you know, Lumpy
and
starts watching.
Almost none
this
of them have anything to do with like Star Wars.
Oh no, they don't. All. They just completely circle and pivot beyond whatever is happening in the living room, right? And so at some point the stormtroopers come in. They're trying to find people who are a part of the resistance.
Yep.
Okay. And then
or the rebellion.
I'm making sure I said that
so
correctly.
I'm so glad you said that correctly.
I know, it would have been so bad. And then so there's some plot there. And so like it's bookended. The whole thing is bookended
by them murdering
Chewbacca,
an innocent stormtrooper by throwing him off the house.
Oh. Yeah,
I mean, was
in
he really
front of a young child?
Dead though. I mean, they've got those hard shells.
Anyways.
It was caught. Okay.
Hard
but
shells.
Then, like,
it's like ice cream now.
But then like Chewbacca does come in at the end. So, like, we do have that sort of happy, quote-unquote, ending. Yeah. But if Life Day is only once every 3 years, then that's... Okay, that's why it's so important. I felt they were trying to make a big deal out of... So, do you want to go through the skits, then? Like, do we
want
to talk
about
the
skits? Yeah, so what were the skits that were covered?
All right. So, at the beginning of the show, Lumpy, who looks like a demented Furby, is watching a hologram carnival?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is watching a hologram carnival on his little, I don't even know what device. So apparently in 1978.
It's like a hologram thing. And
it's a hologram table.
But it's really weird. It's like someone had some friends in the industry that did interpretive dance.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
They just went to town with some costumes.
That's of acrobats.
A majority of this thing felt like they just got random people from LA that could do weird things, and they were like, it's Star Wars, like
they definitely got a traveling circus to do that. So that was like for a good, maybe I would say a good 8 minutes, like
yeah,
that lasted. And so
it was
just
awkwardly long.
It was
I
really
mean,
awkwardly long.
Shall we quickly just listen to what it sounded like?
Sure,
because it's like someone just discovered a synthesizer. So let's see here. Really bad. Yep. Oh, this is the synthesizer I was talking about.
Yeah,
but Lumpy enjoyed it though. He was having a good time. Wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he was having a great time, but every time you see his face, you'd be like, what?
No, well, I mean, you're just asking why is your face in place? All right. So, and then afterwards, we follow Mala into the kitchen.
Yeah.
So the mom. And then we see her like turn over to a TV and she's cooking something and she's making something in a pot. But then we watch the TV show and it's apparently like a Julia Child-esque TV show where this creature is cooking a show. John, do you just want to play the clip of
yeah.
this? Because I can't really describe this.
Whip, whip, stir. Stir, whip, stir. Whip, 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 stir. Come on, faster all together now. Cooking can be fun. Stir, whip, stir. Whip, 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 stir. Stir, whip, stir.
Yep,
whip,
we're having
whip,
fun.
Whip, stir. Wah! Having fun, having fun. All right? Coming along nicely. Now, step three. We also have to beat. So, it beat, beat, beat.
And this goes on for like
it does.
10 minutes.
An unnatural beat, long time. Uncomfortably.
Every skit whip, in this stir, goes whip, on about whip, stir, longer beat. Than it
I would say like...
I loved the cooking show because it's exact opposite of what you want from Star Wars.
This whole thing was
exactly yeah.
Yeah,
the,
if you
it
ever
just
wanted,
came out of nowhere.
If you ever want to know what people do in Star Wars when they're not, you know, blowing up Death Stars or something.
See, this is what they take out in the production room. Like, they cut that shit out. They edit it.
And this, I loved the actor who played this character. The makeup was so bad. It looked like he was wearing blackface.
Yep. It's supposed to be purple, though. I
liked the little details of, like, the hair falling out. And what is this character's name? Because
I don't have it
I have
in front
to
of
look
me.
This up. I'm going to look it up. But then, I looked it up last night, and it was, like, a dumb pun.
But then also they have, like, they have got two more arms that come out during the course of, like, the stir-whip sequence.
Yep. Mala's frantically trying to keep up with just her two arms.
And then
life
bam,
is so unfair.
Three arms. Bam. Four. Like,
yeah. It's great.
Well, shall we talk, while you're looking up that, shall we just talk briefly about the costumes through this?
Sure.
So, let's first talk about, like, the Wookiee costumes.
Oh,
so there's Chewbacca, which
is the only decent
quality.
One looking.
Well, yeah, because that's from the movie.
Yes. And the rest are kind of like...
They didn't have enough budget for.
No. This didn't have very much budget at all. So, like, the other Wookiees have, like, what looks like they just grabbed all of the hair extensions, maybe in L.A., and then threw them
anywhere
together.
In L.A., really. Doll museums. Anywhere.
But apparently, it was a really, really hot summer in L.A., and so they only could film 45 minutes at a time because it would get so hot and people would faint. And they'd have to give them oxygen to, like, get them, you know, working again. So it was a really miserable experience for all the actors in there.
And the audience. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that too.
Cool.
So the character's name is Gourmanda, as in gourmet.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Great. Really? Okay.
Oh, geez.
Just gonna let that. We're not gonna mention that again.
But I want to. It's Gourmanda.
No, please.
Oh God.
All right. Okay.
But do you guys want to talk a little bit about other makeup that you saw throughout the movie?
Yes, Mark Hamill's makeup.
Oh, okay.
Was the best worst. The worst best.
Wait, is that what he looks
like? Who
did
you say that he looked like?
He looks like David Bowie. Like David Bowie on a really off day.
So that's not what he looks like in the movie. Sorry, this is
No.
Unknown person.
And everybody looked like Donald Trump orange.
Oh, God.
Or bronze. Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, the color, you know, this is... I mean, I don't want to say it was the early days of color TV, but it definitely... you know, it's not HD, so...
And I feel like, I mean, honestly... The makeup could be exactly the same as it is in the movie, but the lighting in this special is so terrible that it just made the makeup very prominent and you could see it. Hmm. You could tell that everybody's wearing a ton of makeup. Mark Hamill's was really bad, especially because he had eyeliner on and that was really obvious.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It was because it was like... Oh, his whole face was just a mess with that makeup.
Could they only get, like, B-list crew for this production or something?
Probably.
Like, yeah?
I imagine.
Hmm. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
They did not light it very well. There was a ton of dark spots, and half of the time they were in the ship, Han Solo's, like, face was in the shadows. But whatever. Anyway, sorry.
Well, let's talk about the good lighting. You know, there's some pretty good lighting when the disco singer Diane Carroll appears as a hologram.
Can you set up that scene?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
please,
so
let's
do this. All right. Let me just
Itchy.
This is Itchy.
Itchy
yeah, sorry.
Is
Lumpy is too young to watch this.
Yes. Itchy, aka Chewbacca's father, is watching a space Star Wars kind of like virtual reality porno.
It's not porn. As in, there's no nudity. Porny. But
it feels here, like I mean, it. Just let's let the audience decide.
Yeah, so let's just, listen play, to play it. The clip. Play the clip.
I can feel my creation. I'm getting your message. Are you getting mine? Oh, we are excited, aren't we?
Oh, this is way worse than relax. I remember it.
I just relax.
Yeah. Cannot breathe during this episode.
We can have a good time.
Just kill me.
All right, all right. I think you guys get the idea.
Okay. And then she sings a song. But what the weirdest? Okay, so there's a lot of weird stuff about this. Don't but my number one question was, why does a Wookiee feel sexually attracted to a human? That feels strange.
I don't know if that's the only question.
To judge.
There's so many questions.
There's so many questions.
Wouldn't a Wookiee who wants like to watch a special like fantasy kind? Wouldn't his fantasy be another like, Wookiee?
Wookiee on Wookiee sort of thing.
Yeah. Wouldn't his fantasy be another Wookiee?
I do not.
I don't know. Maybe this is something that
I don't know what a young, like, nubile,
maybe Star Wars is a much more accepting universe than maybe. The one that we live in.
Wookiee-human relations, is that, like, a thing in other...
Yeah, but the thing, I guess part of it...
There are furries. I mean, I'm sure that'll become a topic at some point.
Guys, we're getting off topic. Off topic.
But I guess we have to wait until we find other intelligent life forms.
Oh, jeez.
To understand that, but like...
So,
next, I don't know.
Next segment. Jefferson's Starship.
Oh, yes. Jefferson's Starship. Yeah, so like we mentioned that, you know, just random things can come in and be a skit. So they had Jefferson Starship, which maybe, you know, they thought Starship, Star Wars, perfect match.
Mm-hmm. Is that the only logic that went
behind?
And lots of cocaine.
Think that there would be any other logic?
Oh, well, I mean, maybe they were just like a hot band of the time.
So
like,
Jefferson Starship, they started off as Jefferson Airplane, and they were like in the Woodstock era. Hmm. And then they, Grease Slick left the band, and they rebranded as Jefferson Starship. And then they actually like continued on till the 80s, and Grease Slick came back, and they did... they became just Starship. They dropped the Jefferson part, and they did We Built the City, which I'm really hoping we could talk about sometime on this podcast. But the thing is that I thought that We Built the City was the most embarrassing thing that
they've ever done.
Nope. Not even a little bit. Nope. This is so much worse.
Oh, wait. They're the people who did We Built the City. Oh, yeah. You showed me that song.
It was also like kind of live. I don't know if it was actually live when they did like it, but it was really bad.
Yeah, like, the lighting was very psychedelic.
Yeah. This whole thing was a lot of, like, yeah. So what's the next skit that we've got?
So I forget what happens in the Wookiee family room, but then the kid, I think, switches on this cartoon. Oh, yes. I think the stormtroopers are here by now. So he's watching this cartoon that is telling the viewers the story of his father's, actually, adventures. So Chewbacca... is in that skit, right? So like,
yeah. Chewbacca, it's an animated little short about Chewbacca and his son. It feels very odd and very meta.
It's very meta.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I've never seen an animated skit of my father.
Well, no, but wasn't that skit like also, was that Chewbacca what he was currently doing right now at that time? Like
no.
In another place? Or is this just like before in the past? I couldn't catch that.
I mean, I don't know if we could catch that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this show is just kind of a
train but then,
wreck of
like,
continuity.
Han Solo was in it, too, right?
Han Solo's in it. And actually, interestingly enough, this is, like, the mass intro to Boba Fett. You know, fan favorite character.
Oh, right, yeah.
He was introduced officially in a parade, I think, a couple months before this. But this is the first time that, like, the majority of the public got to see him.
Yeah.
So, the nine-minute video of his little adventure with Luke Skywalker and them.
Yeah. So this animation, well, first of all, this was easily the best part. Not in a ironic way.
I mean, only because it was the only watchable part. Like,
yeah. And it was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it was animated in a way that was very kind of Schoolhouse Rock-like, mm-hmm. but trippier.
Adult Swim-y.
Adult Swim, Schoolhouse mm-hmm. Rock kind of mm-hmm. way.
I mean, the whole Yes. The whole show was like Adult Swim.
Yes.
It was like, you know, all the little awkward commercials that Adult Swim has. Mm-hmm. It was like you could slice up any one of these skits
and put it in.
And it and would, people would be like, yeah, yep, we got
yep,
this.
Yep, makes sense. What I do. Makes sense. Actually, yeah, that would be really great if Adult Swim put the Star Wars special.
No, that robot. Well, we can talk about that one next. Anyways. But.
Well, so one thing I wanted to mention on the cartoon, though, is that Nelvana is the person or the company that created this comic for them or this cartoon for them. And you might recognize them from some of their modern work that they're still around. So they did Oh Yeah! Cartoons, The Fairly Odd Parents, and Chalk Zone, and My Life as a Teenage Robot, as well as Danny Phantom.
Oh, cool.
So they're still around. They're still kicking it. They have a lot of properties.
Those are all very different from this cartoon. Yep. I would not have expected.
They're older franchises were like Redwall, Pippi Longstocking, I can't remember.
Oh, the animated Redwall?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's a very different style than like Fairly Odd Parents.
Yep.
The character, the choices that they made for the characters in this cartoon was very strange. Like, Luke has the biggest eyes, and then Han Solo is just
a jaw.
Just a jawline. Like, that's it. And his nose is huge. I'm like, it doesn't look anything like Han Solo. It's, yeah, it looks like a caricature.
It looks weirder than a caricature. It's not how I would imagine a caricature of Han Solo to look.
Hmm. Yep.
But then, like, a bunch of other weird stuff, you know, stylistic changes. Like, R2-D2 can, like, bend and like, C-3PO has, like, a kind of a spring neck.
Yeah, and he blinks.
Oh, and he blinks.
But he doesn't blink horizontally like we do. He blinks vertically.
Yes.
Which is very strange.
And that wasn't in any of the...
No. He doesn't blink in the series. Yeah.
Hmm.
But you'll learn about that when we educate you.
Yes, when I go through my Star Wars curriculum.
Mm. Yep.
So what other things do we have left for skits?
Right, there was three left. So the next segment was like this sort of surreal infomercial that was done by this humanoid robot that was like losing power throughout the whole thing. So you could see him twitch. You could see him like slow down his voice, right? And then you could see like, it was just really, really strange. And we were just sitting through the whole thing going like, this is sort of... I mean, by now we're like, this is cool because like we were already in that mental zone. Wherever they were, whatever they were smoking, we were there too. So
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we play a quick clip of it?
Sure. Works for me.
Remember, every one of the 10,000 terminals on your circuit breaker module is marked in a particular color. Beautiful, aren't they? Like a rainbow.
It is very weird.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. But I would also like to point out that this was a crucial plot element that I did not pick up. Lumpy is trying to build a transmitter to fake the Imperial stormtroopers to go back to their base. Must just not heard the Wookiee grunting right.
No, they can't just slip plot elements in some scenes and not others. I mean, this is the only one that had a plot element, right? Like...
Pretty much. I mean, except for, like, it's life day. Where's Chewbacca? So I think we got, like, geez, this variety show just keeps going on. What else we got?
The Cantina song? Do you want to
Well, I think Emma knows a little bit about the actress that did the Cantina singing.
It's Beatrice Arthur, who is a Golden Girl. One of the Golden Girls, along Betty White. I haven't seen much of the Golden Girls, but yeah, so she was a pretty big deal. So it was kind of surprising to see her. I mean, I guess maybe not because Star Wars was such a big deal too, but it was kind of surprising to see her just pop up in this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, she was quoted in 2005 to the Portland Mercury that she didn't know what it was about at all. I was asked to be in it by the composer of the song that I sang, Good Night, But Not Goodbye. It was a wonderful time, but I have no idea it was even part of the whole Star Wars thing. I just remember singing to a bunch of people with funny heads. So, just shows the quality of this show.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like she was tricked into being there.
Mm. But out of all the segments, I think, I don't know, I found this one of the more enjoyable because the song was actually... I like the song.
It was a real song.
It was a real song.
I laughed my ass off when she, like, that guy was hitting on her, and then she poured the drink into his head.
Oh, God. Oh. I wasn't laughing. I don't know what I was doing.
And it was, and the sound effect to go with it was basically just, like, a toilet, like, gurgling
so
something.
So how, she did not react to that. Really, she didn't mention the guy that she had to pour a drink, and then that's how he drank
it. She's a
high-quality
actress.
She's, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, that is odd that she wasn't just like, what is
why
this?
Why is that not the first thing she would have said? You know, in the interview. Anyway.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that hairstyle, though, was great. And then I never thought that I would want to know what happens in the cantina when Luke and Obi-Wan Kenobi aren't there. But, I mean, this was fairly enjoyable. It went on way too long.
We expected her to start doing the can-can at one point.
Oh, my God. It would. John said, if she starts doing the can-can, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
You didn't lose it before that. Like, that's surprising. But anyway.
I lost my mind watching this, but I didn't lose my, you know, lose my shit.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm just remembering so many things about that one scene. It was
pretty great.
It was rich.
It was basically rich. Like they just pulled out all of the costumes from storage and said, yes. Here you go.
Yeah.
Pick whatever one strikes your fancy and just go.
Yeah, and they didn't even... Oh, my gosh. So part of the fun of the first movie, if you watch the original theatrical version, which is super hard to find, there's some costumes in there where they really just didn't have the money to spend time and effort on them. So in the corner of the original cantina scene, there's just like a guy wearing a Party City werewolf Halloween mask. And that guy shows up in here too. And I was super excited to see him. And also the weird devil guy, he showed up too. So
and
that was fun. If you enjoyed those scenes in the original.
And you want to see the costumes kind of slightly deteriorated.
Yes. Yeah. Not very well kept at all.
So... Yeah, so I think that leaves us with what? One more skit at the end?
The Carrie Fisher song.
Yeah, so Stomp Tokyo had this quote that I just thought was too good not to share. Carrie Fisher begins to sing. Yes, she sings. And for a second you think, hey, they're dubbing her. And then you think, no, if they were dubbing her, it would probably sound better.
She's not the best singer.
No.
Definitely
she
not.
She definitely gave it her all, though. There was
she tried.
I think she was, like, in one of the earlier scenes, she kind of, like, stumbles a little bit.
Oh, I think she was, like, high out of her mind.
Yeah.
During this.
Yeah.
I mean.
This whole last scene was awkward, though. Like, you had the lines of Wookiees all dressed in, like, these, like, red Death Eater robes. Okay, they're not Death Eater robes, but you know what I'm saying? The red robes, and they're coming in through, like, multiple angles, and they're walking through.
So,
and there's, like, was there a Christmas tree or not? Was I imagining that?
Well,
there was a large tree.
The interesting... So, well, I mean, like, I think there's supposed to be a tree, but really what happened in this is that the director got to the end and found out that there was no set for the closing. And so he told the art director... They had no budget, so they just went out and bought every candle that they could find, and then they filled an empty stage with candles, and they just...
And a fog machine.
And a fog machine.
Fog machine, for sure. And then they lit it. They just... It looked... I mean, it was so obviously just a soundstage.
Yep.
So obvious. It was painful to watch.
It was.
To hear. Carrie Fisher shouldn't be singing.
No. No, and so, you know, I think, like, a couple things I'd like to just mention about the actors and actresses that, you know, make up Star Wars universe. You've got Carrie Fisher, and she very clearly did not want to be there. She's said so in many interviews afterwards that she basically was looped into a contract that she had to. And Harrison Ford was basically the same way. And one thing you have to kind of keep in mind is that if you're a movie star... Like, doing TV was, like, you know, very beneath you.
Step
this would
down,
be, like,
yeah.
Going, being a Broadway actor and then having to do, like, high school theater or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and that's something that hasn't really changed up until recently mm-hmm. when, like, TV became really, really about the same level of quality as cinema. But that's stigma of TV doing it, of a film actor doing TV, that was persistent all through like the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. it's only recently that people were like, oh yeah, you can do TV and it won't ruin your career.
Yeah. I mean, like, now you've got high quality shows like Game of Thrones, you know,
Breaking Bad,
I feel all like the sorts
sitcoms,
of
Westworld.
The sitcom, a lot of sitcoms can make an actor's career too.
Well, especially because they go on for 10 years.
But it's different going from TV and then making the jump to film. While if you are like already a big film actor and then you go and do a TV show,
going the other way was basically
a career killer back in the day. Now you can do it like Matthew McConaughey did, True Detective.
I'm not sure. I think that's it. You can't see me shrugging.
Okay, yeah.
But you know, the only other person that you kind of know about is Mark Hamill, and so you know he was interviewed, or he did like an AMA on Reddit in 2014, and basically said, you know, he wasn't really for it, but he knew that he couldn't get out of it, so he just tried to be a team player. And I think what really came out of this for him was voice acting. So. Yep. Based on that cartoon that he did, I think he was like the Joker.
He has been the Joker. He's not just a Joker, he's the Joker. Like, the very classic voice for the Batman animated series, for all of the Arkham Asylum video games. And anytime you think of the Joker's voice, that's Mark Hamill, basically. Mm. He was always paired up with the Kevin Conroy Batman, who is the epitome of the Batman voice. And then when Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill decided they didn't want to do these voiceovers anymore, and the whole DC universe was just starting to kind of ratchet up again, everybody was like, okay, well, crap, who are we going to get to do these voices because they're the best? But anyways, that's very off topic. I just know a lot about Batman.
Yep. No, I'm just looking at all the voices he did in Batman, and it's just like never ending.
Yeah, he's done a ton. He's a really, really talented voice actor.
So I have a couple of final thoughts, but before I get to those and we close this one out, any last minute thoughts, things we didn't cover yet?
Oh, yeah. No, is this canon? I need to know how this falls into the Star Wars universe.
I want to know about cult reception.
Oh, jeez. So for those of you not initiated with canon and what that means, it's basically like, did this happen in the Star Wars universe? And, you know, George Lucas and LucasArts had this, or in Lucasfilm, I guess, had these canon levels. So they had G canon, which was George Lucas canon. This was basically episodes 1 through 6. Or maybe statements by George Lucas. So,
and probably like the Cartoon Network tie-in things.
So that's actually T-canon.
He doesn't acknowledge that.
Does acknowledge that. So that is considered good.
It wasn't made directly by George Lucas.
Yeah. Like, or if there was any inconsistencies, like G-canon takes precedence.
That's so funny.
Then continuity canon, which is what Star Wars Holiday Special is basically anything that can maybe bear the label of Star Wars. This would be games, RPGs, you know, some other things that just kind of are not in there. And then there's secondary canon, which is like if there was like a tie-in with like some other series. I think Soul Calibur had like a tie-in with Star Wars at one point.
But didn't they say when The Force Awakens, before The Force Awakens came out, they said all of the like extended universe. Okay, you were getting to that. My bad.
No. Thank you for doing some of the talking for me.
Yeah. No problem.
So in 2012, Disney bought Star Wars, and basically they simplified everything. They said, you've got episodes 1 through 6, so, you know, Phantom Menace through Return of the Jedi. And then you've got Star Wars The Clone Wars, the movie, and Star Wars The Clone Wars, the TV series. And those are the only ones that are considered canon. Like, those are the only things that actually happen in the universe. Everything else is just Star Wars Legends.
So the holiday special, according to Disney, is not canon?
No.
Okay. But then, okay, so I looked online because I was looking up the name of that cooking show lady.
Oh, God.
You wanted more. You were hoping that there might be some follow-ups.
But they said on Wikipedia for her, hold on, I'm going to pull it up real quickly. Let's keep talking
Sure.
about
So, things. Yeah. So, I mean, really the thing is that now Star Wars Holiday Special is in the same bucket as a lot of other fan favorites. So, the Thrawn trilogy that came after Return of the Jedi, things like that. I think a lot of fans are, you know, a little upset, but you know what's nice is that Disney is kind of bringing certain tidbits back. So there's some hints that Thrawn might come back in the new Rebels series.
Yeah, actually, he's confirmed to come back in the new Rebels series. Very cool. Yeah, a lot of people were really excited about that. But okay, that's actually clarified. That clarifies a lot of things because in one of the Star Wars spin-off things that they like one of the comic book series that they released for The Force Awakens, Maz Kanata, who is a character in The Force Awakens,
the one with the big glasses,
voiced by Lupita, actually found ancient holovids of Gourmanda and was inspired to become a culinary artist.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep. Oh, so God. There's a tie in there, but it's not it's not high level canon, but it's happened. Oh, like geez. In the broader canon, it's been acknowledged that the Star Wars universe or the Star Wars Holiday Special exists.
Oh jeez. Bro, you got any last thoughts or?
I'm just blown away by this canon universe and its construction. I'm just like, wow.
Well, okay. It's been going on for so long.
Well, I know. This is like, you know.
Okay. John, would you, your answer doesn't really matter because you haven't seen any of them. But John, would you rather, okay, first of all, are you a prequel apologist?
Meaning like, I wish that they didn't happen?
No. Like,
or I'm sorry that they happened?
No. That you like try, you think that they're good in your head even though they're not.
No.
So you don't like the prequels?
I mean, so there's one series of watching the shows that I think Burl should watch. It's called Machete Order. And so I'd really like to try that with her, where it's you watch episodes 4 and 5, so it's like A New Hope, and then Empire Strikes Back. And so you get the big reveal of, you know, who's Luke's father. And then you go back to episodes 2 and 3 and you kind of see the fall of Luke's father.
And then you completely skip 1.
And yeah, you skip 1. And then you come to Return of the Jedi, where they come together.
We could do that. I'm probably one of the few remaining, like, you know, Star
people
Wars
in the world that haven't seen Star Wars.
Pretty so, much.
Yeah,
we I mean, could I think there's uncontacted that. Tribes in the Amazon that we have, you know, parachuted copies of Star Wars to by now.
We have to do some linguistic translation. Like, yeah.
But do you like the prequels? It's a very simple yes or no, John. Do you like the prequels?
So I will say that there's a couple scenes. Like the lightsaber scenes are kind of cool. Some of the battle scenes.
Yeah, we all like Battle of the Fates.
Do I like the dialogue in the movie? No. Do I like the acting?
Okay.
No.
So would you rather watch the holiday special or all 3 of the prequels?
Ooh.
I don't know the prequels, but if you're asking that question, I'm already.
I mean, I think the
assumption.
Prequels would be more socially acceptable.
No, I'm saying, what would you rather do? You have 2 choices, and that is it.
I mean, it's oh geez.
Okay, the holiday special is only an hour and a half. The prequels are like 6 hours.
Oh man, I think I'd still watch the prequels.
Yeah,
and it would be with, like, you know, my eyelids pried open.
I'll be there with you.
Strapped
John.
Into a chair. I'll be there. No, my wife hasn't seen, you know, all of the prequels, and so we tried to watch them, and it was too painful. Like,
should we include that in the podcast, or is that gonna
Here's the thing. The prequels, I would say. The criticism and story behind them have already been, like, so well covered.
Okay,
if you want to see incredible reviews of the prequels, you need to go to Red Letter Media and look up Mr. Plinkett's prequel reviews. They're as long as the movies, and they are fantastic.
Is that the guy that kind of does it in the monotone voice?
Yeah, he's like, send me your address. I'll send you some pizza rolls.
Oh, God. Yeah, so... Yeah, the prequels have some interesting things, but they're not the same Star Wars that I like. And
so do you like the new stuff?
Yeah. So, you know, The Force Awakens, I think, is great. It kind of brought in, you know, a lot of the things that we like, and was a good reboot of the show. So looking forward to see what comes out next.
Yeah. I'm so excited for Rogue One.
Yeah,
and so far, too. I mean, we're recording this 5 days before it comes out, but it's been getting good reviews so far. So it looks like even though there are some bad parts in the Star Wars history, everything's looking up. It's looking bright. The future's looking bright.
You take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
So I think I'll close out with a quote from Stomp Tokyo, where they said, "The Star Wars Holiday Special is a curiosity best left to extremely hardcore fans into the corners of history. No matter how appealing it sounds to begin with, we guarantee this viewing experience can only bring you little but pain. Fast forward to the animated sequence if you must, and turn off the VCR immediately after it ends. Trust in these words. You'll hate the rest of the special, and hate leads to the dark side." But yet, somehow, despite all these history lessons, The Force Awakens director J.J. Abrams apparently remains open to the idea of a holiday special sequel. Maybe there's a version that none of us could imagine that would be genius.
Maybe there's a version where they'll explain why Chewbacca is such a bad father and leaves his wife and kids for periods of time to
maybe
go.
Maybe he just regrets naming him Lumpy.
Oh my God. There's so many questions. There's so many questions I have, but we can't cover them all because we're gonna get going.
We're going to leave you with this Princess Leia outro. Yes.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed it, and don't watch the holiday special.
Or do it. Actually, just really don't. If you can get past the first 10 minutes.
This wasn't even enjoyable on a bad level.
So this isn't even like,
this is just so bad.
It was just bad and weird.
It's definitely like an art piece.
Yeah.
Like, think of it as an art piece and you may like find it palatable. Okay. Well, no, you won't, but anyway.
Thanks for listening to it, and we will see you guys next time when we talk about another movie, and it'll be the new year, and it'll be great.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
We celebrate a day of peace.
Thank you for listening to The Pursuit of Crappiness. New episodes drop on the first of every month. For more information, go to pursuitofcrappiness.com and follow us on Twitter at Crap Podcast. Special thanks to Josh Stallings for our intro music. If you like the show, please leave us a review. Until next time, keep living crappily ever after.